We get questions, you know, as soon as the fire started and we're actually on scene, we get calls from folks from the media, neighbors, you know, concerned citizens that want to know what caused it. And we try and get that answer out as quick as we can, but doing a fire investigation is a slow process. One of the first delays is just getting the investigator inside the building, because once the fire's out, it's still hot inside and things are off-gassing, so it's still a toxic environment. Sometimes they have to wait for just a couple hours to let things cool and finish off-gassing a little bit. Some, it's pretty clear, cut and dry, what caused the fire, but others, it takes time to collect samples, send them to the lab, conduct follow-up interviews, go talk to witnesses, get photographs. The Fisherman's Bend fire that we investigated years ago, we were going one direction with the investigation, spent days digging, and some citizens brought us some photos that showed the fire much earlier on than we had pictures of, that sent us in a totally different direction. So things develop and witness statements come in. It changes the directions of investigations.
And this isn't like, you know, watching an episode of CSI or some such and everything is resolved within 58 minutes.
I wish it was that way, but no, sometimes it takes months to do investigations. Like the fatal fire, the medical examiner told us it's 4 to 6 weeks just for toxicology results from the patients. You know, not saying that the fire hinges on that one piece of evidence, but the way fire investigations work is you have to rule out all possible accidental causes before you start looking at an intentional cause. And so that takes time to go through the electrical system, look for anything that could have spontaneously combusted, you know, equipment that malfunctioned, you know, looking for discarded smoking materials or candle residue and things like that.
Do you have any fancy equipment to help you with that, or is it just, I guess, the standard magnifying glass and notepad and that sort of thing?
There is some equipment available. We do have a little bit. We've got, you know, some lights that help make hydrocarbons jump out a little bit better. And there are some gas detectors, but they're not super reliable. One of the best tools out there for detecting accelerants is a dog. They have specially trained accelerant detection canines that are extremely accurate at determining whether an accelerant was used. We'd looked at doing that years ago, but we don't have enough casework to keep a dog engaged and active and keep them reliable. So as Juno grows and the fires, you know, increase and things like that, we may look at that again. But basically what it comes down to is detective work, finding areas where we think there might have been an ignitable liquid, collecting it and sending it to the state crime lab in Anchorage.
And that also takes time for them to analyze it, right?
Yeah, because we've got to package it, and then they put it through a machine that measures the gases that are in the container and determines what gases are in there. And you have to send control samples because, as people know, carpets and things like that are made up of glues and hydrocarbons naturally. So they're looking for hydrocarbons that don't belong. So they have to measure a control sample, and then the areas you suspect there might have been some kind of an accelerant.
You mentioned the months that it sometimes takes to resolve a fire case and trying to determine the origin or the cause of the fire. But are there still cases that still have not been resolved, or at least not to your satisfaction or to the satisfaction of your investigators?
Yeah, we have some cases that are pending out there that we're pretty certain we know that they were arson and how they started, but just having enough evidence to take forward, we don't have enough evidence in some cases to move forward on, because you have to prove, you know, beyond reasonable doubt. And in fire cases, it's, you know, just naturally there's a lot of reasonable doubt that, you know, if it was accidental, then it's no longer a criminal case. And some people create red flags by trying to be dishonest about the cause. They may have done it accidentally, but they were embarrassed how it occurred, or they're concerned about their insurance not paying for it. So it makes it look like it was an intentional fire, when in reality it turns out it may have been an accidental fire. They just didn't want to say exactly how they did it. So there's all kinds of variables.